This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. And please help me spread the word about the show. I would be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, the baseball team that I root for, the Tampa Bay Rays, recently were up in Boston and swept a four-game series from the Red Sox, and they scored 42 runs over the course of those four wins. After the fourth game in which they scored 17 runs, one of the Rays players said, quote, "I told you all we'd be fine 2 weeks ago. You were worried about the offense," end quote. Players go through offensive slumps, as he implied. Teams go on losing streaks, and you'll hear coaches say, "We've just got to be better. We've got to find ways to win." The fact is, we do spend time worrying, whether it's about a lack of productivity in sports or whether it's about trials and tribulations in our daily life, or if we have fears of where we are in our relationship with Christ. We spend far too much time doing something that Jesus himself advised against. In Matthew chapter 6, we hear Jesus say in verse 27, "Can any of you by worrying add a single moment to your lifespan?" And then in verse 30, he goes on to say, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith?" So friends, shake off that anxiety, release those fears, and know of the abundance for which God will provide in your faithfulness to him. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a retired mixed martial artist, karate and taekwondo black belt, and Muay Thai kickboxer. He was a UFC heavyweight champion and a three-time King of Pancrase world champion, and finished his career on a 22-fight unbeaten streak. He has been inducted to the UFC Hall of Fame and has appeared in movies and on TV shows. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Boss Rutan.
Boom. Hello. How are you, Bruce?
Very good, boss. Thank you for making time to do this today.
You're welcome.
So you were baptized into the Catholic Church and later made your First Communion, although there is a but.
Yeah, a big but, because when I was about 12 years old, my parents decided not to go to church anymore. We were already only doing the holidays, the feast days. And then my dad said, "Well, if you do it only these days, then might as well not do it at all, because we go all in or all not." And I don't know what the reason was. I remember a book, a science book, that we came from one cell, which, by the way, just to throw it out there, has to be one very intelligent cell if that comes out in all this life ever back to God, right? So maybe that had something to do with it. I have no clue.
Meanwhile, you were bullied when you were young and got inspired to go into combat sports because of a movie that you saw.
Yes, I had horrible skin disease, severe asthma. Needless to say, I was the leper in school, something I of course, hated at that time. But now I'm kind of embracing it because it's in the Bible, the word, right? Leper. Mm. And I saw a movie from Bruce Lee when I was 12 years old. And I saw this little man from China, because he was much smaller than all his opponents, just beating everybody up. And I go, wait a minute, if I become like that guy, you know, I can take care of my bullies. And that's what sparked the whole thing. It took me 2 years of begging my parents if I was allowed to do it, because they always thought it was violence. Mm. But after 2 years, they finally broke. And then I started training, and I trained with the adults. Somebody took me under his wing. And from that moment on, everything went really fast. I mean, within months, I was beating the adults. So then I overheard them talk about me in the dressing room. Man, that kid, boss, did you see him? He dropped so-and-so, and everybody was laughing, you know? So now I started, instead of hearing negative stuff, I suddenly started hearing some positive stuff about me from adults. So I started believing them. And then I got into a fight with the biggest bully in my school. And I knocked him out, one punch. It was amazing how weak he was. And I realized also, because he was with 6-7 friends, because they surrounded me, but none of them were his friends. I think that, you know, if you can beat him, join him. I think they were afraid of him, because if my friend gets beat, I'll jump in. But none of them had the cojones to do it, so to say. So, and that was it.
Wow.
You know, and I feel really bad always, because they talk about you cannot use violence, you know, for bullies. And I go, well, I tried till I was 14 years old every single day with talking. Never worked. Mm. One punch solved the problem 95%. So, you know, I go with what works. It worked.
So in what year did you become a professional fighter, and what did your faith life look like at that point in your life?
In 93, I became a professional fighter. I had a tryout like 2 months before that, where two Japanese fighters came over to look for new talent for an organization that was going to start September 21st, 1993. A tryout worked really well. And then, boom, I was on my way. And my faith, now absolutely non-faith. I was very far from the faith. I was a crazy man. I was a bouncer. You know, I never looked for fights, because I think, but, you know, it was easy to get to see a fight, because I think it comes from my bullying, being bullied. Mm. Every person who will get beat by a bigger person or by two or three people, I was always the guy who jumped in and took care of that. Or a woman, something happens, boom, I'm in. You know, I always felt the need to take care of the problem, because now it was my gift, I thought, you know. And maybe I have to stop these bullies from doing whatever they were doing. Yeah, so, but I was far away from a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot of crazy stories, police station, did a lot of stuff.
Wow. Well, let's fast forward to 2013 and a conference that you sat in on and a talk that really impacted you in a big way. Talk about that.
Yeah, so first of all, I say that by once I started fighting, that straightened out my life a lot.
Okay.
You know, and I mean on the criminal part, so to say, because now I had a job and now I had a goal and now I had, you know, and it was peers. I was traveling around the world. But still, okay. Of course, you know, drinking, partying, drugs, bad things. And then in 2013, I was sitting in on a conference call from Leo Severino. I don't know if you know him. He's a great Catholic and knows a lot about the faith. And he started talking. Now, I backtracked really fast. So when I don't remember a lot from my childhood, because I took an insane amount of medication. And they later found out when I was 12 years old that I was the medication made me forget everything. So I don't have a lot of memories from when I was a kid.
Wow.
But there's one memory that sticks out like crazy. And that was me sitting at 10 years of age, looking outside the window. And I remember the teacher tried to get a hold of me, but I was so mesmerized by this tree. And suddenly he shouted, "Boss!" And I heard everybody laughing. I go, "What?" He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking." I said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm looking at that tree there." He says, "What about the tree?" I said, "How did that tree get there?" And he said, "Yeah, well, they planted it there, stupid." And I go, "That's not what I mean. Where do trees come from? If you go back to the tree before, you go all the way back, where do trees come from?" Mm. So everybody thought I was just crazy. So now in 2013, I'm sitting in on that talk.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing that Leo says, he says, "The leaf fell from the tree. And that leaf just reached its end destination. Let's go backtrack that leaf now." So it goes back to the branch, and it goes to the tree before. And I'm sitting there, and I go like, "Where do I know this story from? You know, I know this story."
Oh, my gosh.
And then eventually he starts backtracking that leaf and getting to a solid proof of the very existence of God. I mean, the way he did it, it was just undeniable. And I was like, whoa, you know, everybody who was sitting and who was not in the church. They were all looking at you. Why don't we hear this talk in schools? Hmm. Well, you know, because it's so undeniable. Now you knew that we were created, that this is not an accident. And that's a big first step.
Wow.
You know, and from there on, of course, yeah, I got, once I start getting deeper and deeper, it became something that it's just completely absorbs my life. I do a lot of the faith now.
So, boss and listeners alike, so follow me on this, because we're going to kind of come back to where we are in the timeline right now. Boss was just talking about 2013. But looking back now, though, present day, do you think you might have been a different person, a different fighter, even if you had the close relationship you have with God today, back when you were in the prime of your career?
Yeah, 100%. My mindset's completely different now. If I see fights, I see myself fight, I know what I was thinking at that time. Hmm. And sometimes if the person was not a nice person, I knew that I was out to get really hurt him. You know, I was really looking for something to take him out with a violent way. And that's not me anymore. And I think that really happened. And then I've never been a violent person, but I just can't. And again, it comes from the bully. It has to be, you know, once they start talking to me, what happened a lot as a kid, you can still hit me. And then I go, you have to watch out. I know the way, of course, on the street. I know how to deal with it now. But, you know, there's some trigger words. There's still some things that if I hear those, I get a little flare up. And then they got, and then most of the time when I hear, I will tell them, I say, guys, whatever you're doing, you got to stop right now. I said, because you don't want to let this escalate, because I'm going to do something if you don't stop right now. And then most of the time they will see that I'm serious and then they want to stop it because they don't want it. I don't want it. So, yeah, no, I think he waited. He waited for the right moment to let me out. I think he also gave me a whole bunch of injuries, which makes me retire. Mm. But, you know, something I hated at the time, but now I'm embracing it. I'm so happy because, like you said in the beginning, you know, I went up on a high streak, 22 fights I didn't lose. You know, and I know I'm that knucklehead that if I, you know, I get older, but I think I can still do it. You know, mm-hmm. pride, right? That's always ringing in your bell. And that will, pride is, well, everybody in hell is proud. That's what they say. So, so I'm very happy now that everything was done the way it was done. And I truly believe that when I was 10 years old, there was a little seed planted in my head mm-hmm. by the Lord. And that came, boom, suddenly out when I saw that talk from Leo Severino.
Amazing. Amazing. And so I want to reinforce this. So the bullying as well as the medication, you said you were heavily medicated as a kid. That was all because of the eczema that you had, right?
Yeah, eczema and severe asthma. Oh. I had asthma during the whole day, but also every 6 weeks I would be a week in bed with an attack, not able to eat because I couldn't breathe.
Like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I had to do everything in bed.
So. Wow. Well, listeners, in my ministry moment, I mentioned teams or players being on a streak, and I feel like we're on a little bit of a streak here with Catholic Sports Radio guests and their conversion stories, starting with 2 weeks ago and the powerful, powerful testimony from Father Michael Leitner talking about going from highly recruited college football player but avid partier on campus to being called to the priesthood. And then last week, the VP of publicity for the Kansas City Royals, Toby Cook, talking about having been certified as a deacon in the Lutheran Church before baseball converted him to the Catholic faith. And now Boss is the newest witness to going all in with the Catholic Church. But before I have him continue telling us about that faith journey, I honestly can't say enough how much I appreciate you listening to Catholic Sports Radio. I say it every week because it's true. I'm really grateful to everyone who subscribes, who sends me emails, all of you who engage with Catholic Sports Radio on social media. And I'm also thankful for everyone who is helping to spread the word about the show so that more people can be moved closer to Christ through this ministry. In case you didn't hear that conversation last week with Toby Cook from the Kansas City Royals, I shared an interesting statistic that I had never mentioned before. As you know, I am just a one-man operation here, booking all the guests, doing all the writing, recording, and editing of these episodes by myself every week, taking on all the promotional efforts and administrative work and so on. The unique fact about all that, which I had never gotten into before, is that I once tallied up the total amount of time that goes into just one 25-minute episode of Catholic Sports Radio, and that number is actually between 5 and 6 hours. And then there are the expenses that I have to take on out of my own pocket since I don't have any sponsors and I don't get any kind of income from doing this. So if you are able to help out, I would truly appreciate your support of this ministry by way of the Donate to CSR button that you'll see on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And one of the things that I love about that is it allows you to not only contribute securely online, but in whatever amount you decide. There's no minimum and not even a drop-down list of amounts to choose from. You just put in whatever you want. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. And there's also the option, as I always mention, of people contributing by way of mailing me a check or money order. Just use the contact page on CatholicSportsRadio.net to get in touch. And of course, you know that it will be me personally who will write you back with an address that you can send your donation to. Way back on episodes 53 through 60, I was giving out examples each week of many different expenses that your donation helps me with. There was actually another expense, too, that I talked about on episode 67 and even a clarification to it 1 week later on episode 68. You can go back and listen to those to hear the various costs that I was citing. But the bottom line here is that I want to be able to continue to be obedient to God's call and serve him through this show and hopefully help you out in your walk with him. So if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and it's helping your faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of helping me out through the Donate to CSR button on the website or by sending a check or money order. The boss, in 2015, you were inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame, but that was also a big year for you in your spiritual life.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just, it suddenly started clicking. It's very honest. I started going more to daily mass. And you know, and after I got married to my wife for the third time, actually, because people don't know, I come from Holland. So when we are in America, you know, we want to become citizens, right? Or at least have a green card. So, but I had to marry my wife first because otherwise she was not going to get one. So we did the fast marriage. Was in the Carmel when Clint Eastwood actually was still the mayor over there. We did that. Then I promised her a big wedding later on when everything would start coming to fruition. And that was in 2004. We did a big wedding, but not for the church though. And then when I got back to the church, I came home one day and I said, "Yeah, I want to get married for the church. That's very important to me." So, and then my wife, this was really crazy. Because my wife has always been like, I believe in God, there is a thing. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to do all that because I'm a good person. That's what she always said. And as soon as I told her that I wanted to marry her, the next day was a Monday, I couldn't get a hold of her. And it was around noon. And she called me back like 12:45. And I said, "Well, where are you?" She goes, "Oh, it was at mass." I go, "Excuse me." She says, "Yeah." And I signed up for RCIA classes.
Wow.
And I go, whoa. She goes, "You want to get married, right?" I go, "Yeah." She said, because she did her baptism, but she never did a confirmation. She went to everything, make an order right away. But I didn't even ask her. I didn't even ask her anything. She, on her own, bum, bum, bum. Mm. What took hours and conversations and all that stuff with me was for her, it was immediately accepted. And then a whole St. Therese thing happens. Like, I started going to talks in the St. Therese Church here in Alhambra. This is actually where we got married as well. But I also have a tile here on my wall. And it's a Catholic tile, like it's a Catholic thing, and this has been put on a long time ago, but before I went way back to the church. But I'm sitting there, and now I'm making a picture of it, and I send it to Leo, who's now my friend, and I say, "Hey, who is this?" He said, "Oh, that's Saint Therese." I said, "Well, that's crazy, because we go to Saint Therese Church. This is that." So that in the evening, I'm sitting here, and I always do my examination of conscience. I'm sitting outside, you know, you go over the day, what you did right, what you did, what can you do good, or what did you do good, what can you do better, like all these kind of things I go over. Mm-hmm. And I had some time, it was 10 minutes before 12, and I'm looking back, and I see the tile there, and I go, "You know what, maybe I should Google her, you know, let's read about her a little bit." So I'm put her name in, boom, and it comes, and it turns out that I Googled her on October 31st, 10 minutes before 12, which was the day she passed away and went into September 1st, which was the day that she got canonized. And I go, "Oh my gosh. Well, this is so crazy that I picked that day." Sure, it's only 1 in 365, but still, it was crazy. Then my wife asked for her best friend to be her, you know, her witness. And she's named after St. Therese. I mean, everything started falling together. It was just really weird, but really cool. It was really cool.
So I want any parents that are listening with your children to know that tough guy Boss Rutan, right, this MMA fighter, UFC Hall of Famer, in 2015, you just heard him say about getting married, he started doing the Daily Rosary, and stopped using profanity in 2015.
Yeah.
So for the kids, parents, your kids are listening or you want to share this with them, Boss, hats off. I mean, that one's huge.
It is big, and also the profanity. But you know, once you start seeing it, now offends me. Because I know why I was doing it, and I know why people are doing it. They think it's cool. They think they can hide their insecurity with it. Not all of them, but a lot of them, you know? I noticed that, for instance, I had a TV show on TV for 9 years, a weekly live TV show, 431 shows with it, and we would interview fighters. And I knew these guys, you know, once they start getting nervous, I could tell they start using a lot of profanity. They tried to mask by using that. So then suddenly I started seeing as barking dogs. I started seeing as a weakness. You know, I do have to say it was very hard. A friend of mine, also a devout Catholic, he said, put a rubber band around your wrist. And I go, what do you mean? He says, every time you say a word, pull the band and let it go. And let me tell you, that really worked because it hurts a lot. You go, ah! You know, so you start thinking about your actions. And I think suddenly within a week or so, here and there, something would pop up. But now I got it fairly good under control.
Well, so here's something else that's cool. While we're talking about language, tell the audience about your deep interest in Latin.
Yeah. You know, Leo told me that's the language that the demons fear the most. You know, so I figured, hey, then why not do a St. Michael? Why not do everything in Latin? You know, it starts with the normal prayers. And then suddenly I say, hey, let's do the rosary. Oh, let's do the divine mercy. Let's do the slowly but surely. I started doing everything in Latin. And I think it's cool. It's a little bit deeper. For me, also like Latin Mass a lot because, this is really weird. I always say the cell phones don't go off, right? People tend to take it more serious in Latin Mass than a regular class where they walk in on their flip-flops and their shorts, getting ready to go to the beach right after the church. I go, dude, what are you doing? You know, well, what would you do if I would show up at the funeral of your father like that? What would you do? Wow. Because that's what we're kind of doing, right, if we're going to Mass. So I don't understand people like that. You know, that's, I always wanted to say and stand up there and say, hey, for all the people who do this, this, and this, read Revelation 3:16. You know, this is where Jesus talks about the lukewarm, that he will vomit them out of the mouth. The people who are not in or not out, you know, but they're in the middle who do just the minimum amount to get passed by, you know. He's not really happy with those people. So, you know, I would say, if you do something, why don't you do it correctly? But I have done that with everything in my life. Also with my sport, whatever I do, it's black and white. It's yes and no. There's no maybes with me. There's no gray areas. I do it or I don't. If I commit, I commit. I do it 100%, go all the way until absolutely something works against me. I cannot do it anymore. But most of the time, I'll pull it off because it's just dedication. It's something that I thrive for. You know, do it. Live up to your word. That's what I'm trying to say.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So there are so many demands on your time, acting, broadcasting, of course, training and coaching. So how have you been able to successfully stay on schedule with all that you do in your prayer life instead of, oh, well, I'm in the middle of a training session. I guess I'll just have to do it later or miss today.
Yeah, see that with me. And again, this comes all from my mom and dad. I'm really good with creating habits and making good habits and bad habits into turning them into good habits. So once I develop the habit, I won't break the habit. Very simple. Like I use my turn signal for my car. I use it everywhere. In the middle of the night, 4 o'clock at night, when I drive through the neighborhood, nobody behind me. I always use the turn signal. I just have it that I don't break, you know. And I do this with everything I do. Like I need at least an hour and a half in the morning for my prayers and my meditation and for everything that I do, the daily readings. And I go into the reflections. I go really deep into it. Divine intimacy. I do a lot, and I need to do it. So it doesn't matter if I'm at the East Coast. I just came back from Budapest, and in Budapest we could sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. Well, sorry, then I'm going to have to go an hour and a half sooner because I'm going to have to do my prayers first before I start the day. It's just something that I grain into me. Whatever happens, I'm doing it. Mm. You know, if I decided to drink the day before, too bad for me because I'll put the alarm on because you men in the evening, men in the morning, right? I'll do the prayers, you know, so nothing steers me away from it. Now, if I feel that it really hurts my body to not do it, I will post it, but I will do it 100% that same day. So that's it, you know. So right now I cannot do it without. It's almost like this protective shield that I have. Mm-hmm. I start the day with, and then I actually also wrap the day up with, you know. I have a whole bunch of prayer routines that I do in the evening, you know, for all of my friends who passed away, family members who passed away, for all the people or friends I know, prayers for them. And then I got my holy dozen, I call it. And it's like a dozen people I pray to, really great, like a St. Therese, you know, like, St. Michael, of course, archangels, everybody's in there. But that's why I pay homage to it. And hopefully they keep me throughout an examination of conscience.
Act of contrition.
Act of contrition. Yeah. And then and I should be safe to spend the night if something happens. You know, at least I did that.
Fantastic. You are a Eucharistic minister and you do twice a year Helping People Day for your church.
Yes, I do that as well. Yeah, it's a fun project here that we help people with. Although the last two times I couldn't do it because I was traveling. And I told them, I said, please do it a week later. I can do it. But yeah, they're not going to reschedule it for me. That would be stupid. But you know, I really enjoy doing that. And also to hang out with those people and to see some women, you know, who were amazing. Like this 82-year-old woman, I'm with her in the car. And I mean, she has more energy than me. And the way she was driving faster than me. I mean, and I'm driving pretty fast. That's cool. But I go, wow, what a grandma you are. You know, this is so awesome. And then, you know, these are the women and people that never want to stop with helping others. And we go to help 70-year-olds. So she's 82 and she's doing the front yard and whatever she does, she's with us. So I enjoy seeing those kind of things.
So we're wrapping up here. Clearly, we've heard today that both in your career as a fighter as well as in your faith life, discipline is obviously the key. So as we wrap this up, boss, what encouragement can you leave the audience with so as to inspire them to be disciplined also?
Just your Wednesday dress side. Just remember, you're always on the side of angels, right? So whatever you do, you'll be judged. And you know, also the judging is, I don't know if you do the book, The Divine Intimacy. I would highly advise that to everybody, to get that book and read one chapter a day. And like the last 5 days has been about pride and all that stuff. And it really hits. And it's not that I'm a pride guy. I look around. Absolutely not. I'm not like that. But pride is hidden in really little small things that we don't see. And I give an example always, like if you're driving a car and somebody cuts you off, you know, you might get angry. You get angry, you know, or you get upset. Some people do. I do. If somebody's just reckless on the street. But I realize that if I'm not driving, I'm sitting shotgun and my friend is driving and it happens to him and he gets angry, I'm going like, relax, dude. It's all okay. So that means that I see it as a personal attack. It cannot be anything else. So that's when I realized, wait a minute, that's pride. It has to be pride. You know, oh, so you do this to me? That guy doesn't know me. Why would I think that? You see, so that's what I'm trying to say to people. Pride is hidden. You know, that's the devil. He does it in really subtle ways that you don't realize it. But soon you start listening to it, then the bigger thing comes. And the bigger thing comes. I said I should make a T-shirt out of this. I came up with this saying that I said, doing a small good thing is still doing good. Doing a small evil thing is still doing evil. You know, it doesn't matter what measure it is. You know, evil is evil, good is good. Yeah. So try to always do something good and not evil. Even if stealing a cent, why would you do it?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Boss, this has been terrific. Thank you so much. Really great to have you on the show, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, Bruce.
My pleasure. And listeners, we'll close with a prayer. And I thought that this time the prayer that we would close with, fittingly, since we have an athlete on the show this week, let's do the prayer to Saint Sebastian, who, as we all know, is the patron saint of athletes. And let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear commander at the Roman Emperor's court, you chose to be also a soldier of Christ and dared to spread faith in the King of Kings, for which you were condemned to die. Your body, however, proved athletically strong and the executing arrows extremely weak. So another means to kill you was chosen, and you gave your life to the Lord. May athletes be always as strong in their faith as their patron saint so clearly has been. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My name comes from Sebastian. Boss comes from Sebastian. That's my name. I'm named after the saint. Wow. He's one of the holy dozen.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H. At Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.